Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Well, welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. Thanks for being with us here. And just came out 31 minutes ago, President Xi Jinping of China said today at a rally that China, China is remembering at this time the Long March. The Long March was a time when the Red Army, as it was called, began its journey way back during the time when communism was entering in to southern China in particular. It's a celebration of the Long March. The Long March was just that, an incredibly long, grueling march during China's Civil War. This goes back to the 1930s. So anyway, in a rally that was held in remembrance of the Long March, President Xi said, China is embarking on a new Long March. He didn't use the U.S. By name, but said that we are embarking in a new Long March. We are starting over again. So this has signaled that there is no end in sight. And, you know, there are speculations that China could ban rare earth exports to the U.S. I don't think that there's much speculation there. Mark my words, they will ban rare earth exports. Now, the United States over the last 50 years has done a marvelous job getting rid of all our rare earth commodities. We've made a huge mistake. Back then, it was talked about as a huge mistake. I don't remember all the details. I do remember studying about that on my own and what we did during those times and getting rid of the rare earth products that we used to mine here. We can't have adequate and build up adequate weapons system without rare earth materials. They control our ability to build weapons. They were hoping to control and came very close to doing it, our metals that would have done the same thing. But this new Long March, referring to China's Civil War in the 1930s, and them saying that it is starting over again. Let me just give you a brief economic system of China, communist China. And maybe, which you know would suit me fine, because I've talked about this for years, we'd get back to calling China Red China. That's what it is. It's a communist regime. We determined some years ago that it was politically incorrect to say Red China. Then it became politically incorrect to refer to them as communist China. They somehow took offense to that. Well, if they took offense with that, then they know how bad it really is. They didn't like being called something very bad, even though that is what they stand firmly upon. Look, when we think of China's economy, we have to understand that China is an economy that is somewhat self-funding. Their entire funding system for China is funded as a communist regime. And the people have no confidence in the government. China has always led worlds in their savings rate. They make barely enough to eat a little bit to sustain their life, but they are very, very adamant about saving money. And they save their cash because they don't believe in the systems. They don't believe in putting their money in a bank that is run by the communist regime, the People's Republic Bank. They don't want to put their money in there. So they save. They're big, big savers. So some time ago, I'm going back 15 years, China decided they need to be more consumer-oriented. It's hard to have a consumer-oriented economy when everybody is saving their money because they don't trust the government. And the notion that people are saving money is the worst thing that you could have in any kind of growing economy because it hinders growth, right? It's good for the person, but it hinders growth. China has a government like that, and now they could be going back to that because they've worked for years in trying to get a little bit out of that, and they were actually making some progress on consumer-driven kinds of things. As President Xi said just a few hours ago, that they could be going back to the Long March. They could be going back to the Red China that we remember during air raid drills as children. They're going back to that, which means their people are going to go back to this totally self-reliant on their welfare by saving every little thing they can save. That is going to hurt their economy. Their government is overly dependent on the government. What I mean by that, this is the second thing. So A, they're self-funding, they're self-insured, so to speak. And that is through people having no belief in the system, so they save more. That's the way it works. Very bad for the economy. Now you got the government who is totally dependent upon the government. The six or seven people that control the entire government are dependent upon the six and seven or seven people that are totally dependent upon what they can figure out as good stimulus to try to stimulate the people and the companies to try to keep them afloat. It's just the way it is. So if they don't have the people dependent upon government and have people start to get back into their cocoon of savings, then and have no faith in the government's ability to stimulate, then their stimulus is not going to work like it hasn't been working. Then there's a third problem that China has. And I'm up against the break. So we'll go to break. I'll tell you about the third, and then we'll go to phones. We'll be right back.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
So you've got China self-insured. People are going to start saving. Going to be bad for the economy. Going to make a bad economy worse. Going to make things a lot worse. Going to be a lot more people suffering, a lot more people starving, a lot more children dying. They don't care about that. That's not even on the radar screen. They're not worried about that. But they should be worrying about people not having any money to spend because they're going to be saving every nickel because they're going to think it's going to be a long, hard, cold war. Then you've got the government way over-dependent upon their stimulus that they can't seem to pull off. Their stimulus doesn't work, and it's not going to work. And that's going to create more problems in their economy because it's going to devalue their currency almost to the point of worthlessness. So anything that they buy from any country, forget the U.S., they're going to be buying from the U.S., but any other country is going to be highly inflated, which is going to be very hard on their currency and the government budgets, if they have a budget, which they really don't. The third thing is government-owned enterprise. This is a communist regime. They own everything. They own the banks. They own the manufacturers. They own the people. They own everything. So government-owned enterprises, and by the way, if you think our government is poor in efficiency and effectiveness, if you think our government can't even run the post office or Conrail or anything else, let me tell you something. Our government, China's got nothing on our government. They are so much more inefficient and ineffective than we are. The difference is it's all hidden. It doesn't ever get revealed because they're inefficient, ineffective within their own structure. Remember, they own everything. They don't need efficiency. They need to put people to work. They would rather do something that takes 100 people to do a 10-person job and pay them all a few pennies an hour, literally. They don't have real reason to be efficient and effective. So now you've got government-owned entities that can't separate themselves from the pack in a bad economy. They have no choice but to get bad along with the rest of the companies in the country. Look, those three things alone will be going back 50 to 100 years in China. President Xi made a very good statement when he said we could be starting over again. Now, for some reason, he doesn't care about starting over again because the one difference between now starting over again and then is they have major military might. And the one thing that they are counting on that they didn't count on back in the 30s is that they can count on President Trump and Republicans losing the next election. And I would venture to say that it's probably pretty accurate. I hate to say it. Everybody's going, what? What did he just say? Listen. President Xi needs desperately for a Joe Biden to win the presidency. All of China's woes will go away with pretty much any Democrat that wins the office. Biden preferably, because they have a lot more on Biden because of the transactions with his son. But anybody, they will be working hard. Let me ask you something. Do you have any, you probably haven't read this, I never talk about this stuff, So I know I didn't say it before, because I don't talk about it. This is a first. Do you have any idea of the amount of China's espionage inside of corporate America that goes on? Do you know that China can get rid of competitors for an electric car by, through computer malfunctioning, can create a Tesla that's going to crash, that the battery system's going to catch on fire, and continue to set the competition back a few steps? Trust me, it happens on a regular basis. I don't doubt whether China can manipulate our voting system. My only doubt is whether they will or they won't. And if they hold out and continue this new long march, as they indicated, as President Xi indicated, and they are starting over, going back to the 1930s, and they're starting over again, trust me, they plan on starting over again only until January 2021. Only until then. And I don't know if the Republican National Committee, the Republican Senatorial Committee, and the Congressional Republican Committee, smart enough, savvy enough, aware enough to do anything about it. Now, having said all that, I believe with all my heart that President Trump has to stay the course. I believe with all my heart he's got to continue to fight, and we've got to fight along with him. I believe with all my heart that this is a war, not a trade war, a war that the United States of America has to win. I believe with all my heart that the reason President Trump is president is because he is the only one that can win this war. And I don't have to tell you and elaborate that we sit here depending upon a sovereign God. And as we think about that sovereign God, do we believe that President Trump is his instrument for all of this? It is very, very possible. I would say it may even be likely. I don't mean to preach about any of this. I just mean to tell you the facts. I am saying all of this based on a report that broke 35 minutes ago. I haven't read the details. I haven't listened to the speech in English. I haven't listened to that. I haven't done any of that. Probably not even available. But I haven't done any of that. I don't know every minute detail of this. But the reason why I am reporting on this the way I just did, giving you the economics of China, to help you understand that China can not survive by going back, based on those 3 points that I just gave you. They can't. Not that they could. Not that they might. Not that they will work at it and probably pull it off. They can't do it. They're not going to be able to do it. Deep down inside, I believe they probably know they can't do it. Maybe they don't. But they can't do it. If they can't do that, and they know they can't do that, their only hope is what they can do to hang on for 2.5 years, to hang in there for 2.5 years to the next presidential inauguration. That's how long they've got to hang. Can they hang in there that long? That's what's on the back of their, in the back of their minds. And if that's in their back of their minds, look out. Now, most of you will forget that you heard it here first. Most of you won't think about that. And I will sit back 6 months from now and say, remember that May day when I talked? I probably won't, because I'll say, I don't know, it was 6 months ago or 7 months, because that's what I do. I don't remember the day. I just remember saying it, that I made public and said some of the things that are a little scary and could even go to conspiracy theory kind of things that I've said to you, which I've never said before. Nobody's going to call the president and said, I know a guy that called this, or I know a ministry that pointed this out, and I know a ministry that said, because I'm saying to you now that we need to be praying for this president and our conservative leaders like we've never prayed before because of all of that that I just said. So for those of you who listened to this program on May 21st, 2019, heard something that you might look back upon and say, I heard somebody talk about that. And I don't need the credit for it, and I don't need you to call Fox News or email everybody and say, Dan said this, and, you know, I think he made a point. Some of you might do that. Most of you will not. We always want to help the ministry, our ministry. We want any help we can get, because the more exposure we have, the greater we're going to be able to help. But I'm not going to ever have exposure without leaving Jesus Christ out of it. So my exposure wanes very quickly, unfortunately, because I'm not willing to back off of that aspect of it. But I don't care about all that. I do care about you, and that's why I'm here every day. I care about our partners, and that's why I have partner conference calls and email alerts and all those other things. This is very, 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 very important and powerful information that I gave you here this morning. Some of it you don't understand. I'll be glad to clarify if you have a question on it. But some of you don't understand it, that's fine. And maybe I'll try to put a little bit meat on the bone. I hesitate, you know, to put meat on the bone with that, because I don't want to be wrapped up in another conspiracy thinking person. I don't think that's what I am doing. I think I'm stating facts. But because we don't believe them or know that they are in fact facts, we tend to brush them off as conspiracy, and I get concerned about that. But I'm telling you, because I care about you, I want you to understand it, and I want you to know what we could be headed into in rather short order. All right, we're going to get to phone. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. We're going to go to phones. Before I do that, let me just tell you where the grains are. Craig Haggard will be back the end of the week. He's in China. I don't know if I want to be an American in China right now, but that's where he is. We'll pray for his safety. Make sure you do that. I prayed for him this morning. He and his wife, Laura, they're coming back here. They should be on their way back probably here on Thursday. But anyway, all the grains are in just crazy, positive territory. Very much so. The corn's up 2%. Now, look, if you really want to put things in perspective, get a 10-year chart, and you realize that all these up days in the grains really somewhat insignificant. It's all weather-related. It's a temporary thing. It's been too wet in a lot of parts, in much of the country, in order to get any kind of corn in. I own a little bit of tillable land, and not that last break, but before that, I listened to the farmer. I saw the guy that plants it was trying to call me, so I thought I better listen. And he was just saying that, yeah, he's hoping today he can get his corn in, but he was asking me about another piece of small piece of property I have, if it was okay to plant that. He said, I need all I can get planted. I need to get planted. But that was just a phone message. I didn't talk to him. But weather is impacting corn, and corn is up 2.1% right now. Again, wheat is up 2.5%. Oats, 3%. Yes, 3% up. Soybean up 1.25%. Let's see. The other soft commodities, I'm just thinking. Some of them are down, by the way. Sugar is down. Orange juice is down. Cotton is down 1.3%. So cotton is down. I'm surprised by that. But I suspect was particularly in that the southeastern part of Texas is a pretty significant cotton crop. They've been getting hammered. So that's a little bit of a surprise. But all the other commodities are in positive territory, very much so. Live cattle up again, but feeder cattle down about 3/8 of 1%. Lean hogs down 1%. So that's where we are on the commodity front. Sorry for such a lame commodity report. I did my best, but Craig will be back at the end of the week. All right, we're going to go to calls. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jerry in Virginia. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Dan.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Oh, I'm so happy to talk to you.
Thank you.
I listen to you every opportunity I get, which is about every day. I just wanted to some advice. I joined your ministry a couple of years ago, and I just neglected it. I didn't know what to do, and I still listen to you, but I was just at a loss. And I didn't know, so I joined again a couple of weeks ago, determined to try to learn something.
Okay.
I mean, but I'm 79 years old, so no experience in the stock market other than what our financial advisor tells us to do, or where he, you know, puts us. And he has not done a bad job by any means. My husband has been retired for, I think it should be 25 years in September. And he took early retirement. They offered a package.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we have lived comfortably, and the Lord has been good to us, unbelievably good. But I just feel like when I mentioned to our advisor about being, you know, stocks and things and mutual funds that would be biblically responsible, I could tell he was not open to that very much. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear you of your name.
Yes. That's a very common trait among a lot of financial advisors.
But, yeah, and I like him a lot, and he's, you know, sweet as he can be, and he has looked out for us pretty well. But I when you were talking a while ago about putting your money into things that we are against, and I'm firmly against abortion and Planned Parenthood and all this stuff, and I just feel the Lord has impressed on me a need to do something. And if I can get my husband to go along with me, and he's against it too, but, you know, so many of us, we just kind of go with the flow, don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
This type of thing.
Yeah.
But I went on your website, and I couldn't find where I would sign in. It said
say log in as soon as you get up there on the top. It says log in.
Maybe it did, but I never saw a place to actually put my password and all that stuff in. Let me see.
So you would have gotten that, and if you have questions, if you email Pat, Pat at Financial Issues.
Yes.
She'll help you through it and get you, make sure you know what you need to do. But look, I would tell you that I can't speak to, if you're in it, if you're investing, you're not really needing the money. And you're just, want to put it somewhere where it's, you know, going to grow a little bit, and you are thinking about wanting to honor God, then I always say this, and I say it, don't let a financial advisor rob you of God's blessings. I mean, I just think that's wrong, and I wouldn't want you to let that happen. It's not a comment on whether he's good or bad at what he does. It's just a comment of God's given you stewardship responsibility. If you feel that conviction, then you ought to do it. He should, just as a common courtesy of respecting your wishes, he should do that. But I understand where they come. It's a different day than when I was doing that. I did it. I had full discretion. I was a trust company, so I did it a little bit different. But at the same time, you should just go ahead and start. But get on the website first, and I'll make sure Pat, you know, can help you out with that. But, you know, maybe you can get a little bit of money just to play with, just to learn, maybe even if it's $1,000. And you want to stick with things that are blue. They're highlighted in blue, and they're the things that you want to stick with as you look at, and they should be large companies. It says LC, large company, but it really stands for large capitalization. It means it's a big company. That's what you're looking for, that or yellow companies, and that's all you should put a little money into, and that are highlighted in yellow. So it breaks it down for you pretty easy. You're looking for things highlighted in blue or yellow, and just start to invest a little bit at a time. If you're not looking for growth, then you should have a preservation of principal mindset, and you should be thinking about, well, I want to maybe just preserve my money and, you know, think about things that are even more income-minded and even more conservative, and maybe things like some of the money market accounts I have on there and some of the... It's some CDs and those kinds of things. But I think it is important in all of that, you know, you follow your heart and your convictions. So that's the important part. So I would just say that, and hopefully you're still listening, that you can, you know, call, email Pat at financialissues.org. And Pat will help you just to make sure that you get through the website okay, and then start with a small amount and just peck away at it. And Jerry, I think that'll help you and get you off to the right foot. But the other thing is, ask Pat if you want help, if you want to give it over to another financial advisor, then she can give you the name of somebody that can do that for you. And probably charge you the same fee that you're getting charged now, but it'll be all 100% biblically responsible. So she can help you with that as well. All right, let me go to Don. Don's calling from Arkansas. Hey, Don.
Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Couple questions for you. I've been investing in the stock market now for 25 years.
Yes, sir.
And I have several different stocks, but the one that I'm, you know, concerned with, and should I stay in it or not, is it's E43.
Yes,
and,
sir.
The next question that I have is, I'm going to retire here in about 7 years or so, and I'm just wondering, should I just dump everything out of the stock market and put it in one of those PP funds that you said and mentioned?
No, I wouldn't. Not if you're already in and you can start changing it over more to income. But that particular stock that you mentioned, man, you don't want to get rid of that. It's paying a 5% dividend. It's up 33% this year so far. It's finally, we've been waiting a long time for this with that particular company. And, you know, here we are. We're up 33%, got a 5% dividend. That's income. That's what you want as you get nearing retirement. So you definitely do not want to get rid of that by any stretch of the imagination. I got to put you on hold, Don. I'll come right back to you.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. 707-5533. I was talking to Don from Arkansas. So anyway, Don, it would be simpler for you to move things, as you say. But at the same time, only if it's not too burdensome, or maybe you want to give it over to somebody, or at least somebody that I might recommend. There's only one person, but you might not want to do that, but at least I know you'll be biblically responsible, and that person could follow along with the income portfolio. But this is a company that you'd want to keep. And I'll just, you know, like I said, it's up 33% on the year, so you're getting some recovery, but it's paying a 5% dividend that I think is going to hold. So I wouldn't get rid of that. But I would like you to take a look at the income portfolio on the website and start thinking about, if you haven't already, starting to convert that. Again, if that's something you don't want to do, Darlene can give you a number of somebody you can call that you can just have an advisor do it. But I think because of what you're saying, is this money that you're going to use to help supplement your income when you do retire?
No. I've just been investing, and I'll have a good retirement. My wife will have a good retirement, and it would just be extra income. I just didn't want to be foolish with my money, and I do believe in being biblical responsible. And I'd like to take a look at your website, and can I get information from there?
Yes. Yeah, you can get information from there. And all right. I would look at what, if you look at the income portfolio, you know, that might be something you want to consider and just start building it slowly but surely. But I think somebody like you that's been in the market for a while, it should be a real easy kind of flow for you and give you the guidance that you need. And that would be a good thing. I mean, this is the stock that you mentioned, this E43 is one that is on my, one that I track with. And, it was on my buy list at the beginning of the year. And, again, you know, I would just take a look at that, and that'll probably give you some help. And it is biblically responsible, of course.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your help, Dan.
All right, Don. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you.
Yep. Let me go to Bonnie. Bonnie's calling from Ohio. Hey, Bonnie.
Good morning, Dan. I just wanted to tell you one thing before I ask my questions.
Sure.
When you were talking about not leaving Jesus out of things, I was saying, praise God. And I realize, as much as I really, really like all the help with the investing, that's really the most important thing and the biggest thing. And just love it. So keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know you will, but
I have a love and a, I mean, not that I would ever compromise, but you know, when I see every day, what from a worldly perspective, opportunities that I am giving up, you know, basically. And so it is, sometimes because of the flesh, you know, and the old man rearing its ugly head, as it talks about in Ephesians, you know, it's hard. Man, it's just hard sometimes because, you know, we're so good at rationalizing things, and you start rationalizing, you know, well, you know, maybe this opportunity is something that I could use to help the ministry, you know, and you start rationalizing all that. But I've been very, very grateful and blessed to have so many people that pray for me on a regular basis, that pray that, God would keep me strong, and it's hard, but I appreciate you saying that, because that is ultimately the only thing that matters.
No, amen, and I can understand a little bit of that. I'm staying home now, but when I was in my 20s, Dan, I worked as an actuary.
Oh, jeez.
And it's funny because you talk about that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I get that. Yes. Yeah. So I get what you're saying, that there's, but yeah, no, I just.
Yeah. Well.
Doing things God's way, there's just, there is the tug of the world sometimes, but yeah. Hands down, doing God's way is just the best way.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah. Well, thank you for your encouragement. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So I've been a partner and working on filling out the asset allocation for almost 2 years. And my first question is with regard to financial REITs. Now, I'm in the 55 to 65 age range. Okay. And right now, the only two financial REITs are FR24 and FR37, which are both small cap. But they're blue, so I didn't know whether or not, like, is that something that I would purchase, or would I just wait until something mid-cap or large cap?
No, I would be okay with those. You know, obviously, they're going to be a little bit more volatile, but I don't believe that the income is necessarily going to be volatile. I think it'll be fairly steady. I also would want you, so I don't know how much room you have in REITs, but let's say you have 5% that you could put into that. I would put maybe 2.5% in, and maybe between two of them or something, or you could put it in one, but I would put not all of it in, not all that you can put in. To not go overweighted, I would hold off until something on the large cap show up. And I got to tell you, I am working feverishly, it seems, on a large cap preferreds and REITs and utilities that are paying good dividends to add to my list. And just haven't had... hasn't gone the, you know, I'm down. I have it down to 7 or 8, and I think I'm really good. And then as I keep digging and finishing my research, you know, I end up with either none or 2 or 3. And so it's really been difficult lately, but I am working on that. It is a big area of concern, is to try to build that up some more.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that one. And yeah, I have half of what I need already, so I'll probably just add one of those or a little bit of it.
That's good.
Okay, so the second thing is, this I think is the first time that I feel like I've had to like balance my asset allocation. Mm-hmm. And for example, in the financial preferreds, I have 4 of them. And I'm overweighted. I have 7%, and I'm supposed to have 4%.
Okay.
And so I think those are the numbers. Like, you have the first, second, and third one there, and then you have, and I have FP37 as well as the ones that Darlene wrote down.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't mess with it. I hate to say it. I don't like you to be the overweighted, but at the same time, you can't do anything about it. I wouldn't want you to sell. I would wait until they're called and rebalance. But the income is, you know, still good, very consistent. I feel good about it. I wouldn't change it. I would leave it alone. I don't think there's anything that you should do right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's very easy.
Yep.
All right. So then... also, I am overweighted in CS, consumer staples. And you know what, Dan, and I will tell you that CS33 weighted, that's on your buy list right now, and boy, waited for that one to come up. And you know what, the only reason that I'm up in that is because I dollar cost averaged.
Oh, how about it? That's good to hear.
Now, yeah, a couple times last year, matter of fact, it was a year ago that I was calling you and asking you about that stock. So I didn't know whether or not, if I were going to balance that, I didn't know if to sell out of CS33. I mean, I am up on that.
So,
and buy some CS20 because Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so how much are you over on that CS section? More than 4%.
Oh. You know, and I should know that.
That's okay.
Is it more than 4%?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a second. I have the tracker right up here. So.
Because I would, I don't know that if you're up more than 12-13% on CS33, I would be okay with selling that. It's really hard if the markets start to sour, then those consumer staples are going to firm up a little bit and do even a little bit better. But if they don't, they're going to continue to do worse. So that's my rub, and I would err on the continue to do worse, and I would sell and move it over to 20.
Oh, okay. And then I have a couple more to ask you about.
Okay,
is that
all
okay?
Right. I got to put you on hold, though. I'm up against this break, Bonnie. I'm sorry. Hate to ask you to hold off, but it is what it is. All of our breaks, I wish sometimes they weren't hard breaks. I wish we had some flexibility, but we would never have flexibility on the end of the hour, which that's what this is, and I sure appreciate all of you being with us. Look, if you've got to leave us, remember, all that you have is his. Let's stand before him someday and be a good and faithful steward. Stay firm in your convictions. More financial issues right after this. If you got to leave, God bless. We'll be back.
If we ever forget,
you hear on Biz Talk.